What's going on, Big MX Radio listeners? First of all, I want to give a huge shout out to the companies that make these podcasts happen: Racetech Suspension and Engines. If you don't have gold valves in your bike, you might want to go ahead and do something about that. You can also mention Big MX Radio and save every single time that you work with Racetech, whether that's engine parts, service, you name it. You can save with Racetech. Big MX 24 saves you 24%, almost a quarter of your purchase at Backyard Designs. And I'm going to be completely honest. If you go on the website, design a kit, by the time you're done, whether you put in a discount code or not, you're going to be stoked about getting yourself some graphics. And if I'm not mistaken, with the discount code in there, you're saving almost $50 off of your graphics. Actually, it'd be more than that. So, because most of their kits are about $230, so 24% of that. I'm not great with math, but either way, you're gonna save some serious money. Heartbeat hot sauce. I put it on absolutely everything, whether it's a hot dog or eggs first thing in the morning. I'm getting that in. First Form supplements are awesome. I personally basically just I use the creatine as well as the protein after all of my workouts. It helps me recover, helps me get big and strong, or at least strong. I'm probably not big, but either way. Luxon MX, Big MX Radio 24 saves every single one of you 10% off of your purchase. Now, a brand new set of triple clamps is about $1,000. So essentially Big MX Radio is just handing you $100 to go to put towards your Luxon triple clamp. So that's pretty awesome. And honestly, same goes for W Wheels. I believe it's a 15% discount code if you happen to call WUSA and want to buy a set of wheels, mention Big MX Radio. They're going to knock some money off for you. If your kid isn't already going to Loretta Lynn's, or if they are going to Loretta Lynn's and they want some extra horsepower, you're going to want to dial up Money Inc. You can find them, Money Inc. Motorsports, on Instagram. They're awesome. And why don't you just, you probably need a new seat cover. Let's be honest, a new seat cover needs to be part of your program, and you can save with Guts Racing with Big MX 20 at checkout. All those companies, they have one thing in common. They support Big MX Radio, and hopefully you guys will support them for doing exactly that. Now let's get to Andrew Hobson and the show and talk about Lakewood. Welcome to the Big MX Radio Podcast, brought to you by Racetech. Racetech engines and suspension. Honestly, if I had to choose between one or the other, I really wouldn't be able to, but I do love my gold valves in my KTM. I'm your host, Brad Gebhardt. With me on the line, a very special guest and a good friend of mine, Andrew Hobson. Hoppo, welcome back to the podcast.
Thank you, sir. This is starting to become a recurring appearance right now. It's starting to get good. I like it.
Yeah, no, we're starting to kind of find our way within this. You're extremely knowledgeable when it comes to the sport in general, not just the AMA motocross series. But yeah, that's exactly what we're here to talk about. It's the Thunder Valley National. It's one of my favorite races of the year. It's a beautiful track, beautiful landscape. Aside from the broadcast, usually keying up on the fact that it's at elevation as the main talking point. It's one of my favorite races of the year. Great track. I was there back in 2018, looking to go back there next year. Have you ever been to Colorado?
No, you know what? It was after I left in 2004. It was one of the tracks that come on the circuit, so I never did go there. So I missed it. So I'd like to go there one day. It definitely looks fun.
Yeah, definitely. So before we get into the results of the 250 class, you yourself were at a 500 race or specifically a two stroke race?
It was specifically a two stroke race, but they did have a 500 class only, so it was all 500s. It was a full gate.
That's
the catch
cool.
to that was if you had a 500 and you entered, it was a free entry. So
there you
we
go.
Had a full gate. There was 39 500s, I believe. A couple of local fast guys. There was only a handful of us from out of state. So it was the Masters of MotoX was the race. Obviously, you'd drive anywhere for a free entry, right? Let's just drive 8 hours. I think that just makes great sense.
Why not?
I got to give it up to, Dave Allen, the promoter, MX Throwback guy. He did an awesome job. It was his first one. He's looking at adding more rounds, possibly a two or three round 500 series, which is good. Honestly, to say two strikes aren't dead. Plenty of guys there. Like I said, for the first time, first shot, it was awesome. Practice Friday, track was good. They extended a little bit on the Saturday for the race. No real incidents at all. Everything went smooth. So bummed I did cut out a little early because I had to drive back to California. But the trophies were like a ram's head with horns that was 3D printed, and I never... He's going to send it to me, so I'll have to wait till that comes in the mail. So we'll see how that goes. But no all doubt. In all, good weekend.
Yeah, and it did the, based on your Instagram post, it looks like you came home with a little bit of a twisted up 1990 CR500.
Yeah, in the first moto of the 50-plus, I collide with a guy on the tabletop first lap, and I come off second best. And yeah, you just can't get water those parts anymore from Honda, so we'll have to do a little bit of home renovation straightening to get that back into place. But other than that, only a few scratches, so we're all good. We're ready to roll again here shortly.
Love it, man. Well, let's crack straight into Thunder Valley here. It's three nationals in a row now. Hayden Deegan, top step of the podium, winning at least one of the races. And, it's been like, it's honestly, it's been a pretty dominant year so far. Hayden Deegan, he's got a, I believe a 23 point lead thus far. He's just shy of an entire moto ahead. He's not showing a lot of signs of weakness. A lot could be said. He's pretty polarizing about his behavior off the track, as far as just being sort of brash and, having some things to say. But I think it's kind of funny. Like, I always want racers to be candid, and I want them to be real and sort of like, and speak their minds. And then when they do, a lot of people are quick to get their backs up, in sort of disagreement with how they go about doing so. Like, if these guys have a personality and you want to see it, don't be upset if they happen to show you a personality that you may not completely 100% agree with. The only thing you can't disagree with is that kid has some serious speed and a lot of fitness.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, like, obviously the complete moto streak has been broken, but hey, you know, like I said, nearly a full moto lead going into round four.
Yeah.
You know, he's won every overall. That's a statement in itself. Yes, he has unbelievable fitness. Now, I mean, he has been beaten 2 weeks in a row on the second moto, but I don't think that's a major concern.
Are you putting away your dishes right now?
What's that?
Are you putting away dishes right now, or?
No. Was there some background noise?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know where that comes from. He's definitely on fire. There's no doubt about it. I mean, he can go like this and drop the second moto and win the championship quite easily. I still think that Hymus he's coming on strong. Valet, he's still going to get there. Obviously, he had a bad weekend, made some mistakes, but definitely a good race to watch with those guys.
Yeah, it was, I would say, off weekend for Tom Vial. Of course, 2-4. There's more than a couple of guys that lined up this last weekend that would have preferred a 2-4. But either way, like the fact that he was able to track Hayden down, pass him, Hayden basically took it right back not too shortly thereafter. But I liked what I saw from Tom Vial at times at Thunder Valley. I don't know that it's a track that he particularly just excels at. It's a very hard pack, very off cambered course. I don't know if that really plays into the sort of strengths of Tom Vial, but either way, he gave up some much needed championship points. He is now tied with Chance Hymus for second, in the championship. And then, Levi Kitchen, who he led early. He was an odds on favorite to win a championship in the 250 Supercross class like 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago. And now finds himself, a couple of more points adrift. He's 25 points down, and sitting in fourth in points. Safe to say, rolling into this weekend at High Point, a very big weekend for the 47 machine.
For sure. Yeah, I mean, obviously it wasn't his weekend either, right? 3-7, off the podium. I expected more from him, for sure. Yeah, I mean, you know, you're nearly a moto down and you're sitting in fourth. That's tough to recoup. Like, you now have to win overalls week in and week out to reclaim that. There's no way around it. So hopefully he can find it. Hopefully he starts to click when he gets back east.
Certainly. And so, and also an appearance on the podium from one Joe Shimoda. It was in a moto, not on the podium on the overall, but still some signs of life from the rider from Japan, and a better weekend in general for both of the Honda riders, and I think I know why. Of course, Chance Hymus, he is from Idaho. His dad runs a Honda dealership. His Instagram is literally Dr. Honda, and like, I think that, like, he worked on a lot of Chance's motors during those amateur days. And I wouldn't be surprised whatsoever if Chance and his dad have had a little bit of an impact as to just breathing some life into, that engine. Of course, it's a completely different platform than it was when, the Geico Honda team was running it back in 2019. But just in the time that since Chance has been there, you've seen basically wholesale changes. And massive horsepower gains to the 450 program, to the 250 program. And I think you really, really saw it, especially at elevation. The 48 machine, second moto, it was never really in doubt. He won that moto. That's his first professional win of a moto for him, and a podium to boot at a race where he did extremely well the year prior. Safe to say, in the future, when Chance Hymus lines up at Thunder Valley, he'll be an odds-on favorite to maybe have the best weekend of the year.
Well, obviously, they must have made some changes somewhere, because you've got the two factory Honda guys, you know, in the top five in the weekend, and that hasn't happened in a long time.
Yeah.
So obviously, something changed, and it was a track with elevation where everyone struggles for horsepower because they're down on, you know, oxygen. So they've done something there, so it's very obvious in the results.
Yeah, I certainly have. What do you make of the Triumph team? I think they've had a good season so far, not a great season so far, but in some respects better than expected. Jalyk Swole, sixth overall on the day. He had some good finishes, a first top five finish in a moto, I believe, for him. Joey Savacci, 17th in the first moto. He's not going to be happy with that whatsoever. What have you liked seeing from the Triumph guys so far?
I love the fact that, you know, it's just an old British company that's reinvented itself, and now they're in the mix of the, you know, there was only the four Japanese, right? And then and KTM come along, and everything's built up. And to see a company with no real motocross history in the last 20, 30 years,
yeah,
to turn around and have a bike that is competitive in the AMA and be in the top 10. I mean, that says a lot for Jake Swole, and says a lot for the team. Now, I know all those guys on the team have all come from some very wealthy, you know, very good teams that have won in the past, so there's a lot of knowledge there. But still, for a brand new bike, say what you weigh about it, still a really, really good effort, I think, on both ends. And I think that, you know, Jake Swole just tends to be getting better each week, really, when you go back and look at the first round results. Like, he was round top 10, and now he was sixth on the weekend with a 7.5. That's pretty good effort for him. Like I said, they'd have to be happy, for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. And one thing about having a better finish in the second moto, you can read this a lot of different ways, but I sort of read it as the fact that, like, Jalyk's not getting beaten up by the motorcycle. He's not fighting it more as the day gets harder and harder. I find often guys who are fighting bike setup, or they're not happy with the bike in general, the second moto is often worse because it's just later in the day. The track is rougher. They continue to struggle even more. But the fact that he was able to knock down a fifth place in the second moto, I think speaks volumes to me. Another thing that speaks volumes to me, Andrew, is that Ty Masterpool, for all intents and purposes, let's go back 4 weeks ago, I wouldn't say he was unemployed, but he was unsupported, at least not from a factory effort. And he's now on a pro circuit Monster Energy Kawasaki. He qualified first, and he didn't have the best of starts in either moto, which actually he's usually known for having great starts. He goes 11-8 on the whole shots. He didn't lead any laps. whatsoever, but he goes 6-9 as his finishes. Eight and six. Got better throughout the day. Fastest qualifier. That's all impressive. You know Mitch very well. You got to think that Mitch Payton very, very pleased with his fill-in rider. He's got two riders out there, and they're both in the top 10. And one of them is a big surprise.
I mean, realistically, when you look at that, everything you just mentioned, and you look at Masterpool from where he started at round one to where he is now, he challenged Deegan the week before.
Yep.
Almost for the lead. And now he was seventh on the day with an 8-6. Like, he has got to be the comeback story of the year so far. I mean he has progressed every single race. And if you take Deegan out of the picture, he would be the guy on paper that would be like, this guy could probably win one here. Like, he's only three races in. You know, he went from a bike that he rode for three hours basically before the first race.
Yeah.
Now he's sitting seventh with an 8-6. I mean, he's going to be good.
Yeah. I'd say most people who are listening to this podcast have actually more time on their bike in the garage than Ty Masterpool still does on a KX250F. He was even training on a 450 prior to this. So the ergonomics, the engine characteristics, all different for him. And that's all very impressive, but it doesn't look so hot on the likes of Pierce Brown or of Jordan Smith was sick, but it doesn't look great on a guy like Nick Romano or like Ryder DeFrancesco. Like, I don't want to like bag on these guys, but when someone who wasn't well supported comes onto a team, there is an adjustment period. And he's flourishing. He's able to put in results better than these guys who have been on the same platform or have been on this with a factory supported team for an entire year. I think that's not only a feather in Ty's cap, but maybe a reason for concern for a few of the guys I just mentioned.
Yeah, true. I mean, I think there's a few ways to look at that. Where you look at Masterpool, who's basically a privateer, right, showing up in the back of a pickup truck, and
yeah.
You know, putting oil on his chain and changing the filter. And then now you put it in an environment of the Pro Circuit team with have all the resources. And then, it comes back to that old saying, you know, you're the average of your five closest friends. Well, he just got elevated really quick. And obviously he's adapted to it even quicker and the results show. So, you know, I'm not saying the other guys don't have the same resources or the same advantages or whichever way you want to look at it, but he's definitely the guy right now on the move. So all the power to him. I like it.
Certainly. And it was a bit of a get right weekend for a couple of guys. Ryder McNabb was able to finally put two really good motos together. He gets a 13th in the first moto, scoring some points. That looks awesome. Casey Cochran, not the best of starts in the first moto, 35th across the stripe. He climbed all the way to 16th, backed that up with another 16th in the second moto. In fact, essentially him, DeFrancesco and Bennick were essentially tied for 15th in points, because they were all, like sort of tied up in the same spot there. So a great ride from him. Anybody else stick out from you on the 250 side of things?
Yeah, I want to mention out to the guy that came 32nd, which is Kai Aiolio.
Yes.
Who is a off-road racer. Actually,
Yamaha.
He worked at Yamaha and he worked at KTM, and
that's
then
right.
He died 3 years ago of a heart attack.
Oh, wow.
And actually, if you're in near the area this weekend of KTM North America, there is a charity ride for his father this weekend called Ride for Rocky. So if you're in the area, you want to ride a bicycle, do a 20, 40 or 80 mile loop, reach out and we can get you set up for it. It's a free event, so come on out.
Are you doing the 80 mile loop?
Yes, I'm doing the 80, and there is talk of extra credit of 23 miles to make it an even 100.
So there you go. Well, you've already done 100 miles once this year. Why not another one?
Yeah, that's it. But no, Kai's an off-road guy. He's a great kid, and to see him, qualify and go 30-32, I mean, that's good for him and pumps for him.
Absolute. Let's move on over to the 450 class. Battered, bruised, possibly a little bit of a bruised ego on top of that, nursing a little bit of a I think it was a shoulder issue, possibly a pretty bad Charlie horse, or at least maybe a sprained groin on top of that. But that still added up to Jet Lawrence winning yet another round and tying on points, swapping out moto victories with his brother. I'll just go ahead and say that, like, that would be the coolest experience brothers could experience, aside from when, I guess, when they both won championships on the same day, in two different mm-hmm. classes, but premier class, like, when you're growing up, I don't even think it's something that you even really dream of, because it's sort of, like, so far-fetched that you and I, like brothers, we're gonna win a national together one year or one day. We're both gonna have more points than anybody else on the day. We're gonna swap out moto victories. Obviously, one of us is gonna win, the other one's gonna take second, but essentially together we are going to dominate the day. And they did exactly that. They both had to get past Justin Cooper in both motos in order to be able to do so. But it was the Lawrence Brothers show. Both these guys, incredibly impressive. Which one do you want to start with?
I mean, Justin Cooper got both hole shots. He led it. Obviously, there's probably a lot more going on there than we'll ever know. I mean, he led two motos. He had those guys behind him. He obviously ran out a little bit of steam. You could see where he started sitting down in the second moto, and that was when Jet got by him. So for him, two good starts. He led it. He's getting a taste for it. I think you'll probably see him get a little stronger as time goes on. Jet and Hunter were just really good. I mean, Jet, everyone was on the fence. Is he going to do it? Is he going to do it? And we said last week, it's going to be which chase shows up, right? Obviously, the wrong chase showed up. 6-5s, after demoralizing one second moto, that's tough.
Yeah, I can't. That is about as duality as you can possibly have of one weekend to the next. 6-5. Although in the second moto, I don't love that he went down the way he did, but at least he still showed mm-hmm. signs of life and he was going for it. He was passing Justin Cooper at the time. He just miscalculated, so to speak. Chase Sexton hits the ground hard, and you as well as I know, when you hit the ground that hard to be able to still finish off the moto strong, that's still impressive to finish off fifth.
True. I mean, he probably could have waited another lap or two, just settle in.
Yes.
Did he rush it? I don't know. I mean, then you go, you look at how slippery the track was. Valet lost he lost traction, Chase lost traction, and Plessinger was, he's down in seventh with a 5-8. I mean, I don't know. Sometimes you think that it's manufacturer's days more than rider's days sometimes. And I think it was definitely Honda's day for sure. They had everything worked out.
Yeah, no, if you're Lars Lindstrom, if you're Shane Drew, you're leaving Thunder Valley smiling ear to ear, knowing that you got three out of the four moto victories, and like most of your guys were on the podium, every single one of them in the top five. A little bit out of nowhere, because he hasn't been able to ride, he's nursing a knee injury, but fourth overall, and some spicy moments from Justin Barcia. Color me surprised. I didn't think we would see a top five from Justin this early in the season. And honestly, if I thought he was going to get a top five, I thought it was going to be a fifth. I didn't see Justin like really making those strides, that quickly, although two really good starts and he was able to stay there.
Well, I mean, a fourth in the first moto. So
yeah, that's as legit as it gets.
That's really, really good for that, for sure. He rode good. You're very good. Like you said, exactly. It's like you probably would see him to peak a little more in two or three rounds.
Yeah, especially when you get to like the Red Buds and the Millville. Those tracks are Justin Barcia tracks to me. I don't know necessarily that the hard pack, kind of rut cross, like it's a pretty slippery surface for Justin Barsha to do his work. I was surprised.
For sure. He did good. I mean, obviously consistency wins, mm-hmm. and we all know he's strong and he's fit. It just depends when he shows up and what the track's like, but he did good. All the power to him.
Certainly. And another rider that I thought did extremely well for a guy who doesn't have as much support as a lot of the guys around him, Fast Freddy Norin. He's not the top privateer. That's going to go to Dylan Ferrandis on the Phoenix Honda. But 11th overall. For once, 11-11 actually added up to an 11th overall. Usually, it ends up being 13th. That's so far this year. I think he's gone 9-8 or 10-8-11. So it's been consistent for Freddie, who I think for that reason, if I'm going to check the points quickly, I think he's probably sitting. Yeah, he's sitting 10th in points. That is super solid for a team of that level.
Right. I mean, they're basically, no factory support. Privateer as you can get.
Yep.
He's doing awesome. I mean, how long has he been at it?
Oh, I think he's not as old as, I'm 35. I think he's a couple of years younger than me. If he's not 33, 32, 33. So, Freddie Norin, yeah, he would have turned pro probably 08, 09. Probably 09, 2010, maybe.
Okay. He's had a pretty decorative career. I mean, yeah. He rode for Honda Factory for a while. Honda. So, yeah.
Yeah. He's some still great out there filling rides.
Around. That's awesome.
Certainly. And finally, a get right weekend for the 28 machine. Obviously, this has not been the last 2 years that Christian Craig wanted to have on Husqvarna. He moved his entire life. He's in Florida now. He's been training. He's been kind of he's had Deegan under his tutelage to work on some body position and stuff like that. Although I don't think you could ask for anybody better to teach you body position than Christian Craig. He just looks so damn good on a motorcycle, but decent starts and decent finishes. I think that was something that we couldn't have said about Christian Craig prior to this, because he wasn't getting good starts and he was staying back there. 11-10 on the whole shots, 9-10 on the day. He ends up 10th overall. I'm sure he still wants to be ahead of guys like Malcolm Stewart, Dylan Ferrandis, but he's not too far away from essentially being right in there with the guys that you'd sort of expect him to be with, being with the Plessinger, Anderson, Stewart battle, the Barsha battle. Give him a few more weekends and maybe he sticks his nose in there.
Yeah, I could see him moving up a few positions. Everything clicks for him, for sure.
What about the Fox? I'm under strict contractual obligation to call it a speed suit. It is a speed suit, not a onesie. But what do you think about the onesie?
I don't know. I don't know.
I'd have to try it on. Honestly, they're all completely, they're one of a kind. They're all completely custom. So, for anyone who says, well, what if I'm taller? Or what if I'm this? Or what if I'm that? Well, honestly, this gear is not for everybody. This outfit is not for everybody. Or not for everybody either, unfortunately.
You could probably say if you're over 10% body fat, you probably shouldn't wear one, right?
No. I'd have to be very strict with my zone 2 work. And, I'd be consuming my body weight in first form supplements every single day to get into the shape needed to look good in a speed suit from Fox. Just from the optics of it, does it look good? Like, does it look like it performs well?
I think it does. I mean, I think the whole thing was to stop having the shirt hanging out the back, right?
Untucked. Yeah, I guess.
Is that the gist? I mean, it
I've never had that problem, though. Like, I've tucked my jersey in since the beginning of time, and I'm not like Jason Anderson or... there's certain guys that don't even tuck it in at all, but I've never had a jersey untucking problem. I don't know if I just don't have a very long torso or what's the deal, but I've never had that issue.
I guess for, sponsorship and logo placement, I mean, you probably have more room because you just have one piece of material.
Yeah.
So you could technically be a little more creative.
Like you mean you could put a thing, because remember back in the day, like mid-2000s, they'd have that like kind of like almost sticky material, or like there was it was a material that had grip on it on the back of jersey so that it wouldn't pull out. And then they would often put some sort of a design there of some sort. Like, are we thinking that now that like the, aside from a butt patch, there's now opportunity for a consistent, like a tramp stamp sort of advertisement that could be placed there?
Maybe. Maybe. Yeah. I mean, it's not like, you know.
I think he was wearing OnlyFans blue today. Yeah, this weekend.
I mean, there's not much protective gear, right? If these guys going down, nothing's going to save you anyway. So, I don't know. I'm still on the fence. I mean, I think it could work. Like I said, I'd have to try one on and see what it looked like and what it feels like. But I get the gist of why they did it. So
yeah, no, I don't think it's bad whatsoever. Color me impressed with Justin Hill, Marshall Welton, and Grant Harlan, especially Grant Harlan coming off of the injury that he's had. But like Marshall Welton has had a hell of a year. He's been on 250s. He's been on 450s. He's been in arena cross. He's been 250 supercross. And now finds himself 3 weeks into an outdoor series where he's been solid every single round so far. I've been really impressed with him. Is there any other privateers that sort of jump off page at you that have just been like consistently doing quite well? Because so far, Marshall Welton is 13th in points, or 12th in points rather, and like he's just consistently putting his bike where it needs to be, right in around that 13th spot every single weekend. And that's what it takes to sort of turn some heads and get some support for next year.
For sure. I mean, that when you really look at it, that 10 to 15 spot is probably the hardest, right? Because you can qualify, you know, you're there, but you know, cause you go from Christian Craig's 10th. I mean, yes, he's coming back from injury. We expected him to probably move up a little higher in the rankings. But, you know, when you look at that, Nyren, Hill, Welton, Harlan, Pape, the Sereno in 16th, and then Jerry Robin, I mean, they're all hardcore 450 guys. I don't, you know, somewhat privateers, whether they're spending their own money or they've got some help. I mean, still, that's, you know, you're on that cusp of the factory guys. Like, the last factory guy is 10th. And you're sitting 13th.
Yeah. Like so, that's you know, got to be something to be able to write home to the Gizmo Mods or whoever your sponsors are to say, hey, like I'm turning some heads out there and I'm racing with the best. And honestly, shout out to Justin Hill, because I don't know what his training regime looks like week to week. I'm going to go out and guess that it's not as diligent and, scheduled out as a Jet Lawrence or a Justin Barsha, but 12th is not bad whatsoever. Like that is a dirt bike kid right there. That is just a young man who can still get it done on a dirt bike, wrestling a 450 for 35 plus two times two, and putting it, well inside the top 15. Good on Justin Hill.
For sure. And I think he's another one that has progressed each week. I mean, I think he was outside the top 20 on the first round.
Yeah.
And now he's sitting 12th, you know, at a track with at high elevation. So.
Yeah. Like if there was a race where you'd think that Justin Hill would actually like struggle, I wouldn't say struggle, but like this would not be the highlight of the season. You might say Thunder Valley, because it's hard and slick. It's rutted. It's at elevation. Your bike's at elevation. Like he's got a lot of things stacked up against him, and he still came out swinging. I got to respect that.
Oh, for sure. Like you said, and I mean, he's just a kid at heart on a motorcycle, right?
Yep.
With a ton of talent. So yeah, no, you're right. I agree with everything you say right there.
I love it. Especially when you agree with me. So the podium, the Lawrences and Cooper. It's crazy that we're talking about this like after a weekend where only 1 week ago, Chase Sexton goes 1-1, passes every single person on the track. I expect him to bounce back. I expect him to be back into the championship fight. But now he's going to have to contend with a Justin Cooper who has some serious wind in his sails, and the pressure to be a podium guy every single weekend. Do you expect Chase Sexton to bounce back and get back in between, perhaps in between the Lawrences, or even back on the top step of the podium in 1 week's time in High Point?
Yeah, I do. I think that if it comes down to Sexton and Cooper, I think that Sexton has more in the tank towards the end of the motos. So if he is in that fourth place and Cooper's in third or second, whichever way you want to lay it out, I think that Sexton just has enough in the tank at the moment to probably get past. I think that if Cooper spends more time where he is right now, leading races and being in the mix with the Hunter, with the Lawrence brothers, he's going to be dangerous. He's in a learning curve right now, and he's just going to keep getting better. So if he works out that second half of the moto fitness, he's going to be a player.
That he will. Hoppo, I know you've got a website coming. I know people can follow you and all of your adventures on Instagram. If you're not already following at Hoppo Hoppo on Instagram, you're missing out. Where can people get in touch with you? How can they follow along? And what have you got coming up down the pipe, my friend?
Hoppo is my Instagram at the moment. I've got some coaching and training stuff coming up. I've got a website that's about to go live called hoppofit.com.
Nice.
You can reach me through there. And, you know, similar to our podcast, The Racer's Mindset, we're just all about being better, health, fitness, goal setting, all that sort of stuff that, you know, we just thought would be better. So
yes, sir.
Here to help anyone that wants to reach out.
And I believe this week we are yet to schedule, but I don't think it's going to be too hard to nail him down. Sage Voda from First Form going to lay down some knowledge and wisdom on us. Hoppo, it's always a pleasure to have you on the show. Thank you again for making some time for me.
Okay, thanks for the invite again. I enjoy it. This is good. I appreciate it.
Excellent, my friend. You have yourself a great rest of your night. Do not hang up just yet.
All right.
But for podcast sake, we're going to cut things off. Right there.